Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, wherever you may be. I just want to give you a quick rundown on what's on tonight's inauguration edition of the Klein Hour Podcast. We're going to talk about all things NFL playoffs. We're going to preview the conference championships, talk about Tom Brady's performance, as well as Drew Brees and what could be his final performance ever in the NFL uniform. Also going to touch upon the James Harden trade, how he's doing in Brooklyn, and touch upon on what's going on with Kyrie Irving, and maybe some other random shit that we'll get into later on to this podcast. So until then, hold tight, and also please get the merch. Please and thank you. What's up? What's up? Welcome to this inauguration edition of the Clown Hour. I'm Scott Burks. This is my man, Dwayne Nash. He's the czar of the yards, that's HBCU Sports, that reps about all things HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night on Facebook Live. Also, check out his good work on herosports.com. We reps about all things FCS sports as it pertains to HBCUs. That's where your boy here. Check out my sports blog, The Clown Times. It's Clown spelled with a K at www.theclowntimes.net. Also, find me on Facebook as well. It's where you're on your smartphone, desktop, laptop. Go to the social window, type with the Clown Times. You'll find me acting the fool there. And last but not least, get the merch.
Get the merch.
CafePress.com. Search for the Clown Times Sports. The addresses will be in the description of this video. And also, please subscribe. I really appreciate it. Please. And he would too. But please subscribe because we all get
it. Oh, yeah.
All
Yeah, be
right.
like your boy. Get your merch. My merch is on its way.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So we'll show off the merch and all this regal and glory. So let's get into it. Start with some NFL, bro. I mean, what can you say about Tom Brady? He goes up against a team that's on him. That's
Yeah.
on him all season and against a quarterback that's on him for most of his career. He came into the game 5-2 and 5, rather, against Drew Brees. And then what does he do? He shows up, gets the job done on the road, albeit without 70 plus thousand people. But still, this is the same team that's owned them all season long. I mean, the first game of season in New Orleans, I mean, it wasn't a beatdown, but it was obvious that New Orleans was a better team that day. Then when it
Yeah.
came to Tampa, they beat them down. Was it 38-3 or some shit like that?
It was
They
38-3. There's a term that I like to use on CG Sports,
Yes, sir.
mollywopped.
There
And
you
that's
go, Molly.
exactly what happened that second game against the Buccaneers. And I fell for the banana in the tailpipe. I actually
Sure.
picked the Saints to win that game. What I should have known going into that game on Sunday night was that Drew Brees was going to Drew Brees it up.
Three interceptions, bro.
Three interceptions
Three
that
interceptions.
Sunday.
And they scored off all the, and Tampa scored off of every last one of those interceptions.
Yes, and that's one of the things people are starting to catch on to
Yes.
now. I mean, I got a chance to peek at it a little bit when they played the Washington football team
Yes.
during the wild card round, but I kind of chalked that up to them being able to bottle up their run game that particular week,
Right.
not realizing that's been or the way that that defense has been playing for the latter half of the season.
Right.
They've been holding teams to well under 19 points per game for like the last 8 weeks. I mean, yes, it's been a combined what? Doing the math real quick, 21 points for the past 2 weeks in the playoffs. But 21 points versus scoring what? Do that math real quick. Versus averaging 36 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, 36. The way that I learned greater than less than in elementary school was that the alligator eats up the bigger number.
Right.
Yeah, in that case, the alligator's eating up that 36 versus that 21. Yeah, 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 yeah. 36 is going to be greater than 21 in all cases. So, yeah, not only did that defense stifle both offenses during the past 2 weeks. The offense, well, they were able to put up points, which of course is the name of any game, right? If you score more points than your opponent, you're going to win.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, the thing is that I'm just impressed with Tom Brady that much more. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but he didn't fuck it up either. He ain't wet the bed. He did what he had to do, and his running game came through for him. Both Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones both had over 60 yards rushing. I think between the running game and the three interceptions forced by the defense won the game for Tampa that day. Because again, you got two teams that were hot coming in. One owned the other throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. So when you're that good headed to the playoffs, it comes down to play here, to play there, a bounce here, a bounce there, and turnovers.
Yeah.
The ultimate equalizers are turnovers. Turnovers and injuries, but more so turnovers.
But not just turnovers, but turnovers in your territory, on your side of the field.
Yes.
When you're turning the ball over on your side of the field and making it easy for the Bucs to score, even though in most cases it was threes. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the week prior. Mm-hmm. No, they were able to score on short fields. And yeah, that's that was the tale of that story last week.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So basically, what you have in the NFC now. Well, before I move on, Drew Brees. Obviously, I think with all people said that was probably his last game in the NFL. So that's he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I think. Aside from the slip of the tongue with the whole anthem deal, he's been more or less a stand-up guy off the field. You know, he paid his penance, I think. His ex-spec spoke a lot louder than words. He's been doing his best to learn and be educated on that. But outside of that,
And shout out to the jerks that said that it's ironic that the last play Drew Brees saw at the end of his season this year was someone taking a knee.
Oh God, yeah, that's come on, man. That's low. But the point is, that's because Cole.
It's low, but you know, sometimes that type of comedy makes me chuckle a little.
Well,
bit.
There you go.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the worst person in the world, but point taken.
He's not the worst. He's not most. He's most definitely by far not the worst person in the world.
Yeah, and yeah, and thankfully, he can still do his good work in New Orleans. He can still. You know, he has a TV career lined up for him. I think setting that football come next season. So
if that's what he wants to do, most definitely.
Yeah, so that's great. Good for him. Good for him. But you could tell his fastball was a bit off all season long. You know, the injuries. I mean, the man is 42 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. It is what it is. Well, it would be 42 years old. But the point is that is a hell of a career for Drew. And God bless him, first ballot Hall of Famer, for a guy who was barely 6 feet tall.
Yeah. At a position where we've been told for years.
You had to be 6'3" or bigger. At least. So props to him and Godspeed to Drew Brees and his family. So moving on to the next round, since we're talking about quarterbacks, literally quarterbacks, we get to see the matchup we wanted, man. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Lambeau Field for a shot to go to the Super Bowl, not in the Super Bowl. We never got to see that, but for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Again, at the frozen tundra, even though there won't be a crowd there, it's still Lambeau Field in January. It's Lambeau Field in January. So with that in mind, since the game is next week, might as well just preview the shit. So with that in mind, who do you think is going to come out on top?
Right. It's going to be a little tough. And even more so for me, because, of course, I've been picking against Tampa for the past 2 weeks. I mean, it was inevitable that I was going to pick against them in the wild card round, of course.
Right.
I mean, the homer in me convinced the sensical part of me to go ahead and make that pick. But it wasn't a blowout the way a lot of people thought it would be. And then I just completely underestimated the fact that, like I said before, that Drew Brees would Drew Brees it up in the playoffs the way that he has in the past couple of seasons. This was going to be a little bit more different, right? Now, as dynamic as Aaron Rodgers has looked throughout the entire season, potentially is going to be the league's MVP. And as much as people like to throw out the whole mystique of Lambeau Field, let's be real, though, because, of course, Tom Brady played his entire career in New England. Who else? Jason Pierre-Paul, former Giant. He's played in cold weather before. Mm-hmm. And Ndamukong Suh played with the Dolphins, so he's played cold weather teams before. These guys, they may not play eight games in cold season game in cold weather situations, but they've played in cold weather before. Mm-hmm. I don't even take that into consideration. And like you said, the mystique of Lambeau, there's something to be said about that, but I don't know exactly how much that's going to take. That's going to actually have an output on what's going to happen on Sunday.
Right.
The thing is, though, is whether or not this Bucs defense is going to be good enough. Actually, it's going to be whether or not both defenses are going to be good enough to stop both offenses, because we've actually seen both offense generate points throughout the entire year, the same way we've seen both defenses be able to make great stops, right? Mm-hmm. I'm taking Green Bay because if memory serves me, I picked Green Bay to win it all in the beginning of the season.
Okay.
I also we do picks in the beginning of the season, and then we do picks again in the beginning of the playoffs, so sleazy. And I also picked Green Bay to make it to the Super Bowl as well in that one. So I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm hoping that Aaron Rodgers does not Aaron Rodgers it up the way that he has in recent years in the playoffs, and that he continues to have a great game, because that was one of the things going into this year. Remember, going into the draft, when people kept saying that the Green Bay Packers need to get skilled position players to help out Aaron Rodgers. They didn't do it, and Aaron showed us that he didn't need it. So this is going to be the testament here, whether or not he's going to be able to make it to the Super Bowl without the one thing that people said that they needed to do, which was to bring in skilled position players via the draft. Mm-hmm. Because I can't remember the tight end that they have right now that's been balling out for the pack right now. But you got Davante Adams, who's been balling out, of course, and that running back committee that they have back there, led by your boy. I can't remember what his name is off the top of my head. I just see that it's his jersey number. Aaron, what is his name? I can't remember what his name is. But yeah, that running back.
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, there you go. Mm-hmm. That running back committee that they have, led by Jones and A.J. Dillon. And then, of course, the defense that they have, especially that front seven that's led by the Smith boys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be intrigued to see whether or not they're going to be able to at least hold that Buccaneers offense under 24 points. Mm-hmm. If they are capable of doing that, I most definitely have Green Bay winning. If they don't, that game's going to be a lot closer than what Green Bay wants it to be.
Well, I've been learning a lesson all playoffs that I should not, and we both know better, but I should not bet against Tom Brady.
I know, right? We should know better, right?
We know we should know better, but we keep doing it. With that being said, I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay barely. Uh-huh. And I mean barely. Now, I will say this. I think that even though I picked Tampa last week, but I wasn't too sure about it. I think the pressure is on both Rodgers and Brady. Mm-hmm. Brady, because he left New England for this particular reason. Mm-hmm. He was like, I didn't have shit in New England to get it done. I'm going to go somewhere else to get it done. Since you didn't want me around, I'm going to go somewhere else to get that figure and prove to everybody I don't need you, Coach Bill Belichick, to help me get it done. But also Aaron Rodgers, because this is his first time in the NFC Championship game at home.
Yes.
The first time he gets an NFC Championship at home, albeit during the pandemic, albeit with zero fans, but still, or next to zero fans, but still, he gets the home chance to go to the Super Bowl for playing at home. So that's going to be new for him.
Yeah.
But that home field advantage, man, and that place in Upper Wisconsin in January. Good luck with that, Tampa. Good luck with that. That's all.
They won't have 70,000 there, but they will have a strong 6,000 to 7,000 there, which is better than zero, right?
Correct.
But to your point, I will say that Tampa may have a little bit less pressure, and the reason why I say that is I don't think anyone expected Tampa to be here right now. Right?
Correct.
Me included. You know, when the season started, there were those who were confident, and I was one of those, that Tampa would have 10 wins this year, which is exactly – did they have 11 wins this year?
They had
11 wins. They had 11? Yeah, people thought they would have 10 wins, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they got 11. So they outdid expectations. Mm-hmm. Not by much, but they still outdid expectations.
Correct.
And I truly believe a lot of people think that they're still outdoing expectations right now, being in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, people thought, as did I, that the likes of the Seattle Seahawks will probably be better. The Rams might be a little bit better.
Right.
There were those that anticipated the Niners to return.
Yeah, injuries really fucked them up.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's the curse of the Super Bowl. We all know that, man. Yeah. We should at least have some sort of now whether or not it happens or not is another thing. But we're familiar with the fact that every year in recent history, that a team loses the Super Bowl, they never return back to the playoffs.
Right.
Or if they don't return to the playoffs, they're most definitely not returning to the their respective conference championship game. But yeah, as you said, injuries really, really done them in. But there was still expectation that they would do well. And that Tom Brady would have to go through those before he can even get here. And he's done that. So yeah, with all of that said, I truly believe he has a little bit less pressure on him because of the fact that, like you said, Aaron is finally getting the chance to do this at home, and there's that expectation, along with the year that he's had, that he should be able to win this game, regardless of how difficult it might be.
Yeah. So we both like the Packers, I guess, in a close one. I think it'll be low scoring. I don't think it's gonna be high scoring at all. I think it'll reach the 20s maybe. I think I'm about to pick a score now. I see this game being 23-21 ish.
Yeah, I can see that.
I see it in that way because I think Tampa's defense is a lot better than Green Bay's. As long as either team does not allow its opponent to run the ball on them. That's the thing. Make both offenses as one dimensional as possible. Except I think Brady has more weapons on paper. On paper, and I think that all-world receiving Green Bay name Devontae
Adams. Yeah,
Devontae Adams. I think he's all world, but I mean between him and of course Rodgers being the trigger man. And Aaron Jones, you know, it should be interesting. It should be very, very interesting. So I like
these teams are so balanced. They both have phenomenal defenses. Mm-hmm. They both have great signal callers. They mm-hmm. both have great running games with Tampa having Fournette and Ronald Jones, who a lot of people slept on in the beginning of the season, along with Green Bay, like I said before, having Aaron Jones mm-hmm. and A.J. Dillon. They both have great receiving cores. They both have great tight ends. So they're so evenly matched. The thing is, of course, is who's going to make the least mistakes.
Right.
And mistakes don't necessarily have to mean turnovers. Just be a bad throw. Mm-hmm. Someone runs the wrong route. someone has a brain fart and breaks a pattern off early. Runs out of bounds when they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, watch for those type of mistakes as well. It's just the regular old turnovers. It's very easy just to say, Hey, turnovers. Don't make turnovers. Hey, man, don't make bonehead mistakes. Right. Don't make sure that you're mentally in the game and you're not making mistakes that someone of that level on a team of this level shouldn't be making on a championship, on a conference championship game.
And speaking of quarterbacks, we got the GOATs, GOAT-ish, and Rodgers on one side, and the GOAT with Tom Brady, and the old school NFC, new school AFC. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, hopefully he's healthy enough to play in this game. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, who I doubted when he was drafted out of Wyoming. Boy, am I wrong. Am I?
You and me both.
Wrong? I know, I remember that.
You and me both.
And how wrong have we been?
Lord Jesus.
But good for this young man and good for that young man. Good for him. They got him a weapon in Stephon Diggs that's changed his life forever. So good for Allen.
But even before Stephon, he had a great season last year.
Yeah, he did well. You saw the ascent, the ascent from last season. Mm-hmm. And he's put in the work. And again, it doesn't help having Diggs there. It doesn't hurt having Diggs there, I should say. But still, it's helped his development and dudes on his way. So having said all that, these new school quarterbacks, we got in the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead where there'll be more than 7,000 or 8,000.
Yes, it will. Because, that's how they like it. You know, they live dangerously out there in KC.
In Missouri, period.
Yeah, and in some cases without masks. But I digress. This is not the show for that right now. you know what? It'll be very easy to pick Kansas City. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of strayed away from them. Mm-hmm. In my picks in terms of them making it to the Super Bowl, which is the reason why I picked Buffalo to make it to the Super Bowl in the beginning of the playoffs anyway. Mm-hmm. I didn't know whether or not I actually had Kansas City potentially facing Tennessee in the second round, but unfortunately the Titans were able to get past Baltimore. But even with that said, I really don't want this game to come down to whether or not Patrick Mahomes is healthy enough based upon concussion protocol to participate on Sunday. I really don't want that to be the case. I want them to be as close to 100% as possible or as 100% as you can be after, 20 weeks of NFL play. I really don't want it to come down to that concussion. I don't. But like I've been saying over the past few, actually for the past, God, it's been almost 10 weeks now, but it just seems as though that teams can't seem to finish off the Kansas City Chiefs. They've played games entirely too close throughout the last 10 weeks, like I said. The last 8 weeks of the season and that last final week withstanding, because, of course, their starters didn't play, they were averaging wins by 4 points or less. Mm-hmm. And then last week they won by, five?
Yeah.
So.
But that was a gutsy play on fourth down. That was gutsy with Jad Henning and a little, quick out by what's his name? By Tyreek Hill. That was ballsy. That was ballsy call.
It was ballsy on 3rd and 11.
Yeah, that too.
That was ballsy too. So the fact that and I shouldn't be surprised that your boy, what's his name? That I see his face, head coach.
Andy Reid.
The fact that Andy Reid has that type of trust with his players, doesn't matter if they're first string, second string, third string, fourth string, base string, it don't matter. If they're on the team, if they're on the roster, he's going to have confidence in you to execute his plays. And Chad Henne did just that, especially on that final drive. I was hoping that Cleveland, because I actually had Cleveland. Actually, no, I didn't have Cleveland advancing. Because I didn't think Cleveland was going to be Pittsburgh. But that's another story for another time. No one did. But, I was looking to see whether or not Cleveland could make one more stop and make one more attempt late in the game to try to score and win the game. But, that defense just had two big brain farts at the end of the game at the wrong time. This is exactly what I'm talking about. in terms of what I was just talking about with Green Bay and Tampa. You can't make mistakes. You can't give up big plays like 3-11, and you can't give up a situation 4th-and-1 where it's a screen pass like that. You just can't do that when your playoff mortality is on the line.
Correct.
But with all of that said, Buffalo, they have to take advantage of the situation. They can't allow this game to be close because Kansas City has shown us that they don't need to blow out teams like they did last year in order to win.
Right.
They can win the close one.
They can win any kind of way now, which is scary.
Which is very scary, right?
Which is scary as hell, yeah.
And it seemed as though they were doing it on purpose to me at times. But, you know, I'm just a jerk. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that team cannot have a lapse like they've had earlier in the season.
Right.
But ever since that Kyler that Kyler Murray, they've played exceptionally well, both the offense and defense, and they're going to need all of that against Kansas City. But that said, that's why I'm taking Buffalo to surprise KC.
Wow. And KC. You're ballsy. Yeah. You are ballsy, man.
I like I said, man, I picked Green Bay and Buffalo to make it to the Super Bowl in the beginning of the playoffs. I'm sticking to my guns. I am.
Dude, well, check this out. You mentioned the Kyler Murray Hail Mary, the Kyler Harry Mary, if you will. I'm looking at the schedule, Buffalo's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't lose that game the way they did, they would have ended the season on a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah.
A 10-game winning streak. That's if that's something.
Yeah.
Bills Mafia, that is something else. They were a fluke play away from being winning 10 in a row, which is awesome. But anyway, point is, I like this Buffalo team. I have relatives in upstate New York on my mom's side of the family, one in particular who loves the Bills. She lived in Rochester for many, many, many years.
Mm.
And so she's back in where my mother's family came from in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
But anyway, point being is that she loves the Bills. I have some buddies of mine from the Western New York, including a guy from Australia from college, a buddy of mine, who settled in upstate New York and became a Bills fan almost instantaneously.
Mm.
Still there, too. He's been there since like the late 90s. So we're about the same age. So he's entrenched in it. He loves it. When he made the playoffs the first time in a million years, a few years ago, you couldn't tell him anything.
No.
He was on cloud nine. Even though they went out against Jacksonville with zero offense whatsoever, they were still excited. They were so excited. But now he's like, this is gravy for him.
Yeah.
You know, AFC Championship game and year 3 of the Josh Allen experiment. You know, you couldn't ask for anything better. But I'm going with KC. Especially if Patrick Mahomes is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's not healthy, I still like Kansas. I don't know. I don't know. Buffalo's a different animal than Cleveland, obviously. You know,
mm-hmm.
Cleveland messed up when they fumbled, even though it was a helmet. The helmet hit that didn't get called. You don't put the ball in harm's way when you're about to cross a goal line like that. That is a no-no, regardless. So they lost the game on that play, but that's not a hero there. But the point is that I would give Buffalo a much better shot to win, obviously, if Mahomes doesn't go. But I have a feeling Mahomes is going to play, and I like Kansas City. It should be a close one. It's just that Buffalo, they've been playing a lot better defensively lately,
yeah,
which would help. But they can't get in the shootout. They cannot afford to get in the shootout with Kansas City.
No, I don't know. We say that, right, and it sounds so easy to say. Well, it not sounds because you just said it, but it's so easy to say. But this team, when they want to score points, they can't. Well, I shouldn't say that when they want to. This team can put up points. They put up points this entire season, right? And they have the weapons to do so. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and say that Josh Allen is the same player as Patrick Mahomes, but he has a lot of the similar attributes. They can both throw the deep ball, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Josh Allen has improved his accuracy throwing the deep ball. They both have deep threats. Stephon Diggs and the Cheetah, right?
Right.
The running game is relatively similar with Devin Singletary and Damon Williams, right?
Yep.
God, I mean, yes, Kansas City has Kelce, but Buffalo also has Cole Beasley and a couple of those other young wideouts that they have over there too. The thing is, you know, you match up defenses. Like I said before, both of these teams, they're not the best defenses, but they have players that can make plays on both sides of the ball, both in the front seven and in the secondary. And they seem to make timely plays as well, which is why another reason why I think this game is so evenly matched. I almost would love to see this game be a shootout. If this game could somehow be like 38-35, man, it'll take me back to the 90s AFC championship game. And I'm hoping that it becomes that. But this game also has the ability to be one of those 27-24 type games too.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. So, so we both see us close. But we're kind of split on the two conference championship games. Mm-hmm. But it should be interesting. It should be interesting nonetheless. I'm looking forward to it. It'd be a great quarterback. It'd be a game. It'd be a day of great quarterback play.
Yes.
By the way, old school again in NFC, new school in AFC. I'm looking forward to it. I'm fucking excited. I'm cussing a lot because I'm excited. So, hey, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to sit my black ass in front of the TV in my sunroom. Watch games, eat horrible junk food all Sunday long. That is my plan to do that. So we're going to keep it with NFL right quick before it transitions to the NBA. Mm-hmm. We go from the penthouse to the AFC, the conference championship games, to the outhouse with the Houston Texans organization.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, boy, I'll tell you what, I'll say this. I wrote a rant on my sports blog yesterday saying that I did not feel but so bad for him. I also like did a quick video short about it. And here's why. Look, his beefs with the organization are legit. Are totally legit. Like, for one, the way former coach Bill O'Brien being a GM, coach and GM, big mistake. I think he ran Rick Smith out of town, a former GM, the brother man. Some people say he didn't. So many people, like sources, say that he did. And, you know, of course, the Houston did not choose wisely in that. And which culminated with O'Brien giving away DeAndre Hopkins for a few tomato cans.
Yeah.
And so obviously those tomato cans did not do so well in Houston. So even though Deshaun Watson had a great season statistically, it was wasted. Because outside of J.J. Watt, it's not that talented of a roster.
Yeah.
Offensive line, skill positions, maybe Will Fuller the fourth or fifth or whatever the hell he is. But I mean, it's like it's like they don't have much. And that's thanks to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And then come to find out that Cal McNair, the son of the late Bob McNair, who once referred to players as the prisoners running the
asylum, yeah.
Asylum, well, he said the prison.
Yeah, that's right. The prisoners running the prison. Yeah.
So, which was interesting, slip of the tongue there. But anyway, they're allowing, I don't know if you read a report on this, I don't know if it was the ESPN or SI, whatever, but basically, this guy, Easterling guy, who was a former chaplain of the team, has been allowed to actually like make this important personnel decisions. And as a matter of fact, they hired, I don't know if you heard about this, they hired that dude from, pull it up real quick, a dude from New England to actually be a GM. After O'Brien, after Cal McNair promised Watson that he would get his input, not necessarily get his final say, but get his input, Rashawn's input on like coaches, general managers to bring in, except that McNair totally bypassed him, which is one of the many things that Watson is so pissed off about. He's like, enough's enough. I dealt with O'Brien's incompetent ass, and now I'm dealing with an owner who lied to me, and also allowing a fucking chaplain to run the team. So he's done. Suffice to say, dude is done. J.J. Watt's frustrated. Former All-Pro receiver Andre Johnson tweeted some frustration. Mm-hmm. And so now he wouldn't even, like, Cal McNair wants to meet with Watson. Watson wouldn't even take a meeting with him, which is telling. He's very not saying telling. Anything. He's not saying anything to anybody. Like that's team related. So he's done. So the thing is like, he wants to be traded. We'll talk about his possible trade partners for the Texans, but I don't feel sorry for Watson because he still signed a $156 million extension this past offseason. The organizations did not go bad overnight. He's known that this organization has been treading water the last few seasons. He knows that they've been wasting his talents the last few seasons. Mm-hmm. And to get really bad this season with the personnel decisions and everything else had to be the tip of the iceberg. So why would he sign an extension knowing that? That's why I'm not, but I can't feel sorry for him. Am I mad that he took the $156 million? Hell no. $156 million is $156 million.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if it was really that bad, I would have just took, if I were him, I would have said, fuck the extension. I want out.
You know what, though, Scott? You're a little bit smarter than me, so I'm going to need you to help me walk through this.
Okay.
I don't know if any other organization was going to give him that type of money, right? Okay. So if he knowingly knew the situation was going to be that, or if he knew that the situation was that bad in Houston, take the money,
yeah,
and try to pull an NBA, force somebody. Well, force them.
I guess that's what he's doing.
to trade you to a situation where someone would be willing to take on that dough. But, you don't know if necessarily you were going to be able to get that type of money in free agency, but you knew the home team was going to give it to you. And I think that they have the advantage of paying him that amount of money. So, yeah, take that money and see if you can go elsewhere. If it works, oh, my God, get ready because it's going to – I mean – NFL players have been already been in situations where they've forced teams to make situations and it's been to their benefit. But if this one works, get ready because it's going to continue to happen. It's going to start happening with big money players soon too.
Well, I guess Deshaun Watson figured out that he has a lot of power.
Yeah.
And, he's aside from J.J. Watt, that's really all that Houston Texans have.
Yeah.
Everything else is like shitty. If you look at their roster, if you look at the organization,
they try to replace with DeAndre Hopkins with Kenny Stills.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not it.
Kenny Stills is still the NBA, NFL caliber wide receiver, but
sure, he's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. He is not DeAndre Hopkins. Come on, yeah, exactly. He is definitely not. So, they have, like, lists of trading partners here. I'm going to look at my phone right quick, brother. If I can get the fucker up. Okay. A possible trading partner. It's like, they list, like, first of all, like, it's easy to be, for Watts to be dealt. Easier than people think because of his contract. The next 2 years, at 2022 and 2023, his base salary is going to go from $10.54 million this year to $35 million and then $37 million the following year.
That's right, because I remember them talking about his annual deal being, what was it, under 40?
Yeah.
Even though it was a lot of money in the long run,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be a ton of money.
It's not going to be a cap killer.
It's not going to be a cap killer of a player of his caliber.
Yeah.
You are absolutely correct. I forgot about that.
So this is easier to be dealt than people think.
Yeah.
So if teams have cap room,
mm-hmm.
There's several of them.
Yeah.
Who are not in the market to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And plus, if you, if it's just put it this way. compared Russ's situation, it's roughly this to the Carson Wentz situation where the Eagles are roughly paid, scheduled to pay him the same thing in a 3-year span. But who's the better quarterback, Watson or Wentz?
Yeah.
People, NFL executives who would take that in the New York Minute.
Yeah.
So let's look at this. Now, he has also no trade clause, so he could pick his destination, which is smart, again, on Watson's part. He's a smart brother. Graduated from Clemson with academic honors. He had above a 3-4.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a smart brother. So looking at teams that have draft picks available, like basically the Jets and the Dolphins come to mind because they have multiple draft picks in the first round of the draft, right? Mm-hmm. I think multiple in the second round too. I think Miami does as well.
Most definitely Miami does, yes.
So Miami and New York, they both have the draft ammunition and they both have the cap room. Mm-hmm. And they have the tradable the player assets too. So and so because you assume that Houston would want to want those young quarterbacks in return, right? Yeah. So it's a Tua in Miami or Sam Darnold in New York. Mm-hmm. Maybe have to throw in an extra player. Mm-hmm. Miami has them. Miami and New York both have those. And plus, if you think about it, look at what the AFC East is morphing into. Buffalo obviously is trending way upward. Mm-hmm. New England, they may end up drafting the quarterback, but you can't count on Coach Belichick.
Yeah.
So basically, it comes down to like Miami's improved. They made strides this year. They fell just short of the playoffs. And the Jets, who knows what the hell the Jets are going to do. But, you know, if they're not sold, if this new administration, Robert Saleh, they bought in, if he's not sold on Donald, and they can say that he's sold, but, you know, you're not going to say, I don't want him. That's on the trade value.
Yeah.
So I don't think they want Donald. I think Donald's done as a Jet. I think they're looking to turn the page, which is a shame because I don't think it's all Donald's fault. I think Gase fucked him up, but still, I think he's out the door. So you basically have those two young assets, quarterback assets that the Texans could pick up because if it's as bad as it says it is with Watson, I don't think Houston wants to hang on to that.
No.
I don't think Houston wants to hang on to that. But going back to what you mentioned earlier about the NBA teams, the NBA players, typically players have more power in the NBA than they do in the NFL. But I think I think people starting to learn in the NFL, start with Watson. If you are a star quarterback on the border who's born on a superstar, you have some power. Because he plays the most important position in all sports, quarterback.
Yeah. That was the part I was going to add to that.
He's a franchise quarterback.
That's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
In a position of need in the NFL,
quarterback
is one of those. Right. It's not the position of need, right?
Yes.
Whereas you have more slots available than you have quality players to fill them. As opposed to running back, where we already know that, you know, they've attempted situations to fill spots with running back by committee. Even though there's some running backs that they feel to be more valuable than others, right? And by knowing this and by understanding that quarterback is a position of need, especially if you're a high caliber QB that like Deshaun is, you can go ahead most definitely put yourself in this type of situation and make it a win-win situation for you. Whereas if you stay at in Houston, okay, you might drudge around for a couple more seasons until your contract is through. And you still get that money, or you get traded to a place where you want to go, and you still get that money. Whereas at the end of the day, you're still going to get that money. So, yeah, he most definitely has built himself a win-win situation. And as close to what they're currently doing in the NBA as you can do in the NFL.
Yeah. So we're going to see more of this, to what you just said.
Yeah.
You're going to see more of this because, again, if you're a franchise quarterback, your window's not so big in the NFL. It's hard to win in a professional sports, period, especially in the NFL where, you know, you got salary cap, you know, talent most of the time is pretty even. You know, it's like a you know, it's only like a thin line between winning and losing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Especially so, you're gonna see more of this. So I mean, hell, Carson. I would argue that's why Doug Peterson's out in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. All that money. He's like, I can't fuck with this dude anymore. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though, because we've seen this before in the NFL, but it's been mainly running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs. Those are the guys that come to mind when I think about situations like this. Trent Williams in Washington.
Yeah, it wasn't as, that saga.
You know, it wasn't. And I hate to bring up the team, of course, but I mean, that's the easiest situation I can go to because that's the one closest to my heart. And it's very recent. You have a guy, all-pro tight end, not tight end, but all-pro tackle,
right.
Very disgruntled, sat out an entire season. He didn't have a lot of money on the books, but it's, you know, of course, left tackle is a position of need.
Yeah.
The thing was, though, there were a lot of people who were overvaluing him, and but still, Washington was capable of being able to deal him. They may not have gotten full value, but they got something out of that situation. Whereas that's what a lot of teams would prefer to do, is to get something out of this deal, or as close as to equal compensation as you can get. And my guess is that, well, not my guess, but that's exactly what Houston is hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, it's going to be very interesting to see if this actually comes into fruition, and whether or not, especially as it pertains to who Houston ends up hiring as a head coach, whether or not he's going to want to continue to stay there or not.
Yeah. So which brings me to this. If you're Eric Bieniemy, and we'll close on this segment, goes on this and move to NBA. If you're Eric Bieniemy, you know, you saw that Houston refused to talk, didn't want to talk to him if he didn't want to talk to you like before. Now that Watson wants out, they're like bringing him in on a Hail Mary pace. If you're Eric Bieniemy, I know it's one of 32, no matter how shit the situation is. Why would the hell would you want to fuck with Houston at this point? Why would you say, you know what, look, I'm going to stay with Kansas City if nothing else pops up. The situation is fucked up in NFL. I get it. But why don't I want to go to dumpster fire in Houston where a minister's run the team, convince the owner to make some personnel moves, got to enter the owner. But why would you put up with that shit when you're in a great situation in Kansas City if neither of the rest of the jobs in did they hire someone in Detroit yet?
No, but Dan Campbell is the leading candidate.
Okay.
Find interesting as well, but yeah. I digress.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Chargers. That's right. The Chargers still open.
No, I think the Chargers may have found their guy as well.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what his name is, but if memory serves me correctly, he's another one of these young guy coordinators that they love. Yeah.
Let me guess. Did they work with Sean McVay? Because it seems like that people are having the Sean McVay fetish.
I know, right? I can't remember off the top of my head, but and I'm hoping that, you know, the viewers are probably a little bit more knowledgeable of the situation than we are at this moment. I'm going to try to talk my way into being able to find it, right? Yeah. But like I said before, I know that it's a young guy. He has to be like in his mid-30s. I just can't figure out what his name. Here it is. Okay, no, that's Lions. But here we go. And you're right. Because I should have known because I know I've seen the name before. Uh-huh. Yeah, Chargers are hiring Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Sean McVay. Okay. There you go. There's the connect.
So Sean bullshit. McVay. But anyway, so there you go. So he's now McVay stuck with Houston as a viable option. But still, why go there, even though it's 1-32, it's a dumpster fire of an organization?
I'll say this, fucker. Right?
Yeah.
Because you know, and you said it, you hit the head up on the missile. It's only 1-32, right? And you rarely get an opportunity for this. The thing is, and that's something that minority coaches, and to be more specific,
the Eagles are still open. The Eagles' job's
still open. The Eagles are still open, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about
that's fine. I was saying that, you know, minority coaches, and let's be real, black coaches to be specific, have been the ones who have been hired for these organizations that have had recent history of failing, with the hopes of them coming in and being saviors. Unfortunately, these guys have come in, they get very little to no help that from their GMs, and the players that they end up getting end up continuing to be trash. They don't do well, or they end up having one great year and they end up fizzling out. And then they end up getting fired. And unfortunately, they don't get hired anyplace else.
That's right.
But look at Adam Gase.
Steve
Wilkes. Yeah. But you know, you look at Adam Gase, who goes from Miami, fails in Miami, goes to the Jets, fails there, and is looked at as the lead candidate as the OC for the Seattle Seahawks. How, Sway?
How do you keep failing up like that? They have pictures, naked pictures of some of these coaches. How does he keep failing up?
Yo,
I know that being a coordinator is technically a step down, but still a coordinator.
But going
this
from the Jets
track record.
Yeah, but going from the Jets to the Seahawks, how, Sway? And if I'm Jamal Adams, I'm like, yo, don't bring this dude in.
Yeah.
Don't bring this dude in, because I've seen what he's capable of doing firsthand. You might not want to bring this dude in. But
that'd be funny.
To my point earlier, yeah, it would be funny if Jamal's like, hey, you might not want to do that.
Right.
But to my point, it's just unfortunate for black head coaches in the NFL. We only have four minority head coaches in the NFL anyway, right?
Yeah.
As of today. They just keep being brought into these dumpster fires, hoping to be the fireman and put it out, and it doesn't work, and they don't get another opportunity.
Right.
Whereas their counterparts, their white counterparts, are capable of doing just that, unfortunately. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why we had to grasp at straws to at least get an opportunity to prove ourselves. And when it doesn't work out, we just don't get another opportunity. But thankfully, Eric Bieniemy is a lot more strategic about this, taking his time with this, and hopefully picking the best situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a possibility that the positions that have opened up this year might not be that, right?
Right.
So, and I'm hoping that's the case. But I'm also hoping that we haven't boosted Eric Bieniemy so high that when he does go somewhere and fails, that doesn't lead to him getting another job either. Right. So, you know, I'm hoping the best for Eric Bieniemy and those like him, because you got to remember, before there was Eric Bieniemy, there was Pep Hamilton.
That's right.
You know, and Pep is out there somewhere right now.
Well, that's Chuck Pagano. He fucked them over, because Chuck Pagano's doing a terrible job with Andrew Luck, and he needed a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Pep Hamilton was the scapegoat, so that's on Chuck Pagano.
So, you know, I'm just hoping, I could tell that he's being very strategic about this and making the best decision for him. I'm hoping he's just not rushing and grasping, because it's only one of 32.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, it's just messed up. We could talk about that next week, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
because we got a lot more to say, and I have a feeling he's going to get shut out again or placed in a shitty situation. So we'll see about that. All right, we're going to close the show with some NBA talk. James Harden got traded to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Yeah. I didn't think that. I was wondering how the hell is that going to work with a person with that match with KD, especially with a mercurial talent as Kyrie Irving. But before Kyrie Irving came back tonight, which he played well. The big three played well. They just couldn't play any defense against Cleveland. Harden and KD were balling. They won, I think, four games in a row, maybe. And I mean, the thing is, that's the thing with team ups. They normally do well. We have a big and a small superstars teaming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant doesn't need the ball to do his thing.
No.
James Harden needs the ball, but James Harden is a better point guard than Kyrie Irving is. I think James Harden had 12 assists tonight. Kyrie Irving had a grand total of two. But anyway, the point being is that, you know, is that they are hella talented on paper, and they they're starting to hit their stride. Again, this loss tonight in Cleveland, notwithstanding, but they're starting to hit their stride now. And it's going to get better over the season when they get to know each other over the season. It's just that I think that the big three, one player, one of those three has to take a step back.
Yeah.
In this case, it has to be Kyrie. Because James Harden is a better point guard than Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Neither Kyrie nor James is better than Kevin Durant, who's one of the two best players in the world. Mm-hmm. So it has to be Kyrie has to take that step back. And keep in mind that Brooklyn made this trade with Houston as insurance against what Kyrie might be thinking of doing, because no one knew what he was up to. And so that means that if they wanted to, if Kyrie acts out, they can make him expend. That trade makes him
expendable. Makes him highly expendable, yes, sir.
So he has to be on his best behavior now, but we'll get to Kyrie in a moment. But give me your thoughts on James Harden, like how he's looked so far in the Brooklyn Net uniform.
So speaking of, let's talk exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. I need to talk to Mr. Harden about his weight loss program.
What was the fat suit? Was that a fat suit he had on? How slim and slender he is? How trim he is? What the hell was he? What did he like purge himself or something? What happened?
Maybe he purged himself. Maybe he did a buddy love and used Mega Shake. I don't know what he did, but my God, he using, I need to get on it.
Yes.
He dropped them LBs quick.
I got a spare tire that's keeping my six pack from like it's like a four pack right now. It's still impossible. I need what James Harden did. I need what James Harden did.
But yeah, to your point, my God, they look good tonight, and it's kind of ironic that a couple of Nets and Prince and in Allen had big nights tonight for Cleveland. But I don't know if one of the players needed necessarily had to take a step back permanently. They just had to rotate it out, mm-hmm. and do whatever makes them feel better. And it's interesting that you said that James is the more natural point guard between he and Kyrie, because if that's going to be the case, that's probably what Steve Nash is going to lean more towards anyway. Mm-hmm. But what he's going to lean more towards. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if this experiment works out like this.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it doesn't, Kyrie, as we've seen, it's going to be the one to necessarily come out and speak about it publicly. Mm-hmm. But according to his press conference, his presser, when he returned, he's turned a new leaf. So it'll be interesting to see exactly if that's the case or not.
Yeah. Look, Kyrie Irving, from what I've seen, he's a good dude off the court. I mean, you saw what he did when buying George Floyd's mama, I think it was mama family, a house.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the things that I think you mentioned, that like with those MAGA terrorists like stormed the capitals, the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., that bothered him.
Yeah.
And he was on a Zoom call with the lady from the actress from Sex and the City, who's running for, I don't know, mayor or state senator, whatever she's running from.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he was on that Zoom call while Brooklyn was playing basketball. So it was a question about professionalism there, but still, I think his heart's in the right place. I mean, something tells me that he doesn't value basketball as he does stuff going on in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at him for that. He's thinking outwardly. It's like, what is my place in this life?
Yeah.
How can I want to do good. Granted, he has to use basketball to use it to have a platform to do good, where he's able to do so financially, like, you know, mm-hmm. in case of buying George Floyd's family a house. But I think he's at a crossroads, personal crossroads in his life. I think you have this basketball thing that he has God-given talent to do. Mm-hmm. He has this stuff over here that he wants to, desperately wants to help. Yeah. Desperately wants to be like part of his solution. But what kills me personally about him, he's so mercurial. He's so, you can't really get a read on him. And that could be frustrating to teammates. It was like that in Cleveland. It's definitely like that in Boston. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to like rear its ugly head in Brooklyn. So if he wants to do the social justice, doing good off the court, great. It's just a matter of having a little bit of professionalism.
Yeah.
Because James Harden is balling. Kevin Durant is balling. Those mm-hmm. two wanted to play together for a long time. I mean, they played together in OKC, but that's before they became what they became individually. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting to have a chance to do that again. They talked about doing that again for a long time. And we're seeing the beauty that they've been doing before tonight's game in Cleveland. Now, if Kyrie gets with the program on the court, they could do some big things.
Yeah.
Who's stopping that trio? Except if Rondo needs to play a little bit of defense, but that's not needed here nor there.
Maybe not if they keep averaging 30 per a piece.
But they gave up about over 140 to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the thing. That's a big problem.
Yeah, you can't give up 140 in situations like that. You got to play a little bit better defense than that.
Right. But the point is that I think, going back to kid Kyrie, he's at a cross, so he has to make a choice. Mm-hmm. If he really wants this basketball thing to work for him, not that he's a scrub or anything, obviously, but if he really wants it to work and win, he has to put all his effort there.
Yeah.
He can't straddle. I mean, professional sports, you know how it is. I mean, we've been around sports for a long time. You need to be dialed in.
Well, technically, he can do both. I mean, LeBron does both. We've seen Martellus Bennett in the NFL do both.
Yeah.
We've seen players in various sports on various levels do both. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, you got to have the focus to be able to do both.
Exactly.
And that's where that problem comes in.
Right.
In my opinion, with Kyrie, is that his focus seems to wane in one direction or the other, where it's like, okay, I want to play basketball now. All right, now I want to take care of the political stuff. I'm not belittling him for wanting to do that, but I'm going to need you to do to make a decision. Are you going to work at your job and do this,
right,
or just do this? And make sure that you tell your employer and your coworkers of your decision. Right. Even though it's not necessarily for me to judge, well, no, it is for me to judge. It's not for me to, what's the word I'm looking for here, right? It's really between him and his teammates and his coaches, right?
Right.
On what he does. But I'm going to need for him to make a decision, because you either do your job or you don't do your job. That's all I'm asking. Just make a decision of which direction you're going to head into.
Well said. So that's all I got, bro. Do you have anything, any random stuff to share with us? Well, we got to make it quick, but anything you want to share with the audience right quick before you
end the show? No, not really. I mean, it's going to be as quick as it's going to be. You know, next week is going to be the MEAC football media day. Hopefully, mm-hmm. I should be able to be there to hear what the coaches have to say. And this truncated season that's going to come up for FCS football. I am completely unhappy with how our alma mater A&T schedule currently looks. Yeah. And if memory serves me, everyone in the MEAC schedule is going to look relatively similar, somewhere between 5 and 7 games. For everybody, I know as of right now, A&T currently only has 4. The SWAC, like I told you last week, where they had their media day, they currently have 7, mm-hmm. A 7-game schedule. So I don't know exactly how that's going to necessarily pan out for the FCS playoffs where they're down to 16 teams. But it is what it is, right?
Right.
You know, this is pandemic ball. I'm just wondering how fans and experts are going to, and historians are going to look back on this spring season. As you know, you go ahead and start grading the greats, and taking this season into consideration or not, right?
Yeah.
But I digress. The other thing, just real quick, I think this is the first time in a very long time that Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky, I think it is,
are not in the top 25 in basketball. That's wild. You know what's been wilder? You know what's been wilder, right quick, is that the last week, the highest rated team was Clemson.
Yeah.
At number 12. So much for Vince being just a football school.
I know, right?
Clemson has some good wins this season.
Yeah.
And Virginia Tech is probably the second or third best team.
Yeah.
Behind the Cavaliers now. So you have this bizarre world still going on with this pandemic shit going on. Duke, now the Duke, North Carolina, nor Kentucky are in the top 25. That's the first time it's happened in what, 40 years? No, how long?
Dude, I don't remember what that number is.
I think it's more than 40 years.
It's something insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's crazy. But anyway.
And then real quick, man, rest in peace to Don Sutton, former Major League Baseball great, former pitcher. He's part of that club that probably won't ever be reached in our lifetime, probably. Mm-hmm. The 300 win club.
Yeah.
You know, he went on to be a commentator with the Atlanta Braves post-career. He unfortunately passed away earlier this week.
You know, like, right quick, I think I told you a story about my mother. She's from Brooklyn. She was a huge Brooklyn Dodgers fan. She was a little girl when they moved to L.A. She didn't give it to, hadn't given two shits about the Dodgers since then. And I was like, you know that Don Sutton died, right? She's like, who's he? So he used to pitch for the Dodgers, famous pitch for the Dodgers. Like, oh, I don't know. So
this is cool.
The playback of that. It's not, obviously, that's not his fault. Just that my mom has seriously soured on the Dodgers since the mid-1950s. That's a grudge she's never going to give up in her life.
No.
I'm not mad at her about that, especially how the shit went down. There's a book out about that. But anyway, yeah, this, I just found it hilarious that she didn't know who the hell Don Sutton was, and I did. And I'm a casual baseball observer, but outside of New York Yankees. But
yeah.
Anyway.
But real quick, one to that Duke, Kentucky, Carolina fact.
Yes.
It's been 60 years. Last time it happened was 1961.
Wow.
And then, of course, the other big bombshell in college football, or I should say NFL, they will not be holding the NFL Combine.
Right.
The way they've traditionally been holding it. My God. Once again, it's just another way that a lot of these players from the group of five and FCS and Division Two will not have, or they will have a hard time getting drafted in this year's NFL draft because of no combine, dealing only with pro days, and then not having a season for FCS.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, not having a season for Division Two, having a spring season for FCS, which bleeds into players training and their spring days, their pro days, all of that happening. Yeah, it's just get ready. It's going to be another NFL draft where players from Power Five conferences are going to be drafted for all 3 days. Just get ready.
And on that note, on that sad note, comes to an end of the podcast. Check my man out so that y'all can know more about FCS sports and how this adversely affects FCS players, the D2 players, on heroesports.com. Also how it adversely affects HBCU football players, not only on heroesports.com, but on DR/HBCU sports, the reps of all things, of course, HBCU sports. And please check him out on Sleazy Riddle every Tuesday on Facebook Live. I'm sure he has a lot more to say about that on Facebook Live. I'll be tuning in as well. And last but not least,
as a matter of fact, we'll be having our show tomorrow night. We didn't have it last night.
Oh, right.
You know, one third of us had a busy week this week with his day job. So we'll be doing our show tomorrow.
Yeah, gotta get paid.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah, we gotta go. We'll be doing that, our show tomorrow, and be previewing the conference championship games tomorrow night.
All right. So tune in tomorrow night with Sleazy Sports on Facebook Live. So there you go. And last but not least, please subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Pretty please. I appreciate it. Get the merch as well. CafePress.com. Search for the Clown Time Sports. Get it. And also, I know this is a better time. I know some of y'all getting the vaccine, but just on the side of caution, stay your ass at home. If you have to go out, wear a mask. Don't be a Karen. Just look out for us. Don't be selfish. And also, take care. Peace out. Be safe. Hug each other. Love one another with this and this inauguration day. Take a light. Take care, guys. Peace out.